Well, I want to welcome you back to another verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business, located in Churchill, Tennessee, on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center. And hey, while you're there, put on 107.1 FM. We play these verse-by-verse Bible teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 107.1 FM, and they go out on a small transmitter. And so if you're anywhere in the parking lot or waiting for your car to be washed or even sitting in the waiting room here at the Wash and Word, go ahead and tune to 107.1 FM and you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24/7. If you have any questions about this business or ministry, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And finally, I'd like to invite you out to Abundant Light Fellowship Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., which is where I do live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. All right, let's get back into the Word of God, because this is why we're here. This is what we're doing. This is why we started this business. We looked around and we said to ourselves, you know what? This world has enough churches, but it doesn't have enough of the Word of God. How can we get the Word of God out there in a non-traditional form? And thus the Wash and Word was born. So we bring you these Bible teachings, and we are a self-supported ministry. You can support us simply by coming and allowing us to work to earn what it takes to keep the ministry alive. Our motto here is to, our desire is to, we want to settle the Word of God, not peddle the Word of God. And so, that being said, let's talk about the Word of God for a minute. Do you know the Word of God is controversial? I'm sure you do. You don't have to live long in this world to realize that the truths of God's Word contradict almost everything we see in our society today. In fact, there is so much controversy when it comes to God's Word that it infiltrates every aspect of life. It infiltrates our personal life. It infiltrates our family life, our jobs. It infiltrates our neighborhoods, our governments, our everything. It's all-encompassing controversy, and that's okay. That's not the question. The question isn't, is the Word of God controversial? The question is, are you going to stand for the truth? Are you going to stand on the side of the Word of God? Because, listen, you can't avoid controversy, because you're either going to be confronted by people like me and all of us that are like-minded in our beliefs that the Bible is God's Word to mankind, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and you're either gonna butt heads with us, or you're gonna be a believer that's gonna butt heads with the world. But controversy is a part of life. The only question is where, you know, what side of the fence are you gonna stand on? And so I'll start off this teaching today with a quote by Lyman Beecher, and he said this: "No greater advance has been made in science, politics, or religion without controversy." Let me say that again, because I think I messed it up. No great advance has been made in science, politics, or religion without controversy. So friends, we hear the word controversy and we think, oh no, but it is a necessity. Nothing advances without controversy. And so as we get into chapter 14, there's going to be a topic or two that are highly debated. They're very controversial. And I'm mainly talking about the speaking and the giftings of tongues. But we should really be getting used to by now, especially if you've been listening to my teachings for any length of time, that a highly debatable topic or discussion is not uncommon. Especially if you teach word for word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, the way that I do here. Because if you teach the entire counsel of God's Word, you are not only going to be confronted with controversy at some point, you're going to be confronted with uncomfortable scriptures, difficult scriptures, scriptures that quite often offend. It's the nature of the Word of God. The Word of God was never meant to be eased into our culture. It was meant to be slammed into our culture. It was meant to force decisions one way or another. And this is one of the main problems with the church in our country today. We have conformed and we have lessened the Word of God to an extent that it no longer is polarizing. You can come as an unbeliever and sit in so many of our churches today and never be challenged. You can be there for a year and never once be challenged on your behavior or your lifestyle or your thinking or even the deepest regions of your heart. Because there's only one thing, friends, that could touch those areas, and that is the full counsel of God's Word. So let's not shy away from controversy. Let's welcome it. Let's use it as a way to teach. You know, when I ran the church back down in Stuart, Florida, not one, not two, not even several, but a lot of people left my church because of controversial subjects. Now, I'm not claiming to say that I know the answers to difficult teachings, or you know, that my understanding of the Bible is the right way, and if you don't like it, get out kind of mentality. Truth is, a lot of these, a lot of subjects we hear in the Bible that are difficult to preach, if you don't teach verse by verse, you have several options. And the first option is you can just skip it altogether. But if you do preach verse by verse, you have to come to grips with the tough issues. And so I've learned over the years that instead of trying to teach what I believe, it's better to give the approaches that are common and let you decide. Let you decide. Because I learned a long time ago that truth discovered is truth applied. Truth discovered is truth applied. So when you discover a truth, you're more apt to apply a truth. Remember back in school, you'd come up with a math answer. What did the teacher always say? Well, show me your work. Show me how you got to this conclusion. How did you come up with that answer? Because the knowledge isn't in the answer. It's in the formula that got you to the answer. And so as when we come to topics of Scripture that are difficult, we want to work our way through the formula, so to speak, to get to the conclusion that we may or may not believe. Now, all that to say, friends, we are about to embark on a large section of Scripture that primarily deals with tongues, the speaking in of tongues. Now, there are other topics in in chapter 14, but we're going to look at that quite a bit. And as I was saying before, a lot of people left my church because of the way tongues was presented in our church. We didn't typically speak in them. Do we believe the Bible that the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings forth the giftings of spiritual tongues? Absolutely. I still believe that today. Did we believe in the church, and do I believe now that the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues is a personal prayer language that edifies the believer? Absolutely. But do I believe, and did we believe in that church that I ran, that all things should be done decently and in order? You better believe it. And so this same thought process can be flipped completely on the other side, on the reverse side. And that is when you go into the hyper-charismatic Pentecostal churches where tongues are being preached and taught and spoken, you know, borderline flippantly, there's an equal and opposite reaction to that visual and audio experience. Okay? So when I used to see people from particular backgrounds, namely the hyper charismatic Pentecostal movement, coming into our Calvary Chapel, which preached verse by verse, line upon line, decently and in order. Let me backtrack for a second. Here's the thing, and I'm going to put this out there early and probably return to it several times. If you stay following these teachings, you'll hear this more than once, okay? And that's this. When the Holy Spirit of God is endowing a believer with a particular gift, and I'm talking about gift of teaching, the gift of preaching, the gift of even prophecy or preaching and teaching and shepherding, pastoring, these types of gifts, But let's use preaching specifically, teaching and preaching. All right, so if I'm up there and I'm teaching and I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit not only has worked through me in my preparation time, but when I get up there and I begin to go through my notes and read through God's Word verse by verse, I am being used by the Holy Spirit to deliver through my gift the Word of God, a Word of knowledge, the Word of truth, and I'm delivering that to those who are hearing. I'm being used by the Holy Spirit at that time to preach. Now, why would God interrupt the Holy Spirit with somebody else just flippantly standing up and shouting out a verse? The Bible, or a word, or a prophecy, or a tongue even, standing up and speaking in a tongue, especially without an interpretation. And we'll get into the tongue's interpretations because there's a place for it. It's perfectly legitimate. It's perfectly real. But the Holy Spirit isn't going to interrupt himself. Now, we always had a policy in the church. If I'm preaching and there's something that comes up that you want to say, the Spirit lays on your heart, there's ample time when the Spirit is done using that preacher to preach, there should be ample time to discuss the Scriptures. And then you go ahead and discuss this. So there's no interruptions going on. It's done decently. It's done in order. But it's not squelched altogether. And so this is how we ran the church. We believe that the Spirit would not interrupt himself, but that there be opportunities to preach. Listen, one of the reasons this ministry here at the Wash and Word exists is because the Lord gave me something a long time ago. In Matthew 24:44, Jesus says, "You must be ready because the Son of Man will come at a time when you will not expect him." And I started thinking about that. The Lord gave me an acronym almost immediately for the word ready, because I asked the Lord the question, well, how do I get ready? And what does being ready mean? And so I took those words, R-E-A-D-Y. And if you could picture them going down on a piece of paper instead of a cross, the word ready, R-E-A-D-Y, the first one, the letter R, would stand for read the Scriptures. The second letter of the word ready is E, and that would be explain the Scriptures. The third letter is A, and that would be apply the Scriptures. Then D would be to discuss the Scriptures, and then Y would be your response to the Scriptures. So the word ready, if you wrote it vertically rather than horizontally, R-E-A-D-Y, would stand for read, explain, apply, discuss, and your response to the Scriptures. So that's how we get ready. We get ready by delving into explaining, reading, applying, and discussing. So there's a place, and then of course responding. So there's a place for every aspect of scriptural teaching that should take place, but again, has to take place decently and in order. I'm almost out of time in this teaching of chapter 14. I haven't even read verse 1 yet. But listen, my main objective for chapter 14 isn't about tongues. It's actually about prophecy. Prophecy. Well, why is that? Well, let's go ahead and look at one verse. The very first verse of chapter 14 says, follow the way of love. Okay, well, we already know, if you were here in our last teaching, we took care of the love chapter in one teaching. And so Paul did the whole thing on love in chapter 13. Then he says, follow the way of love. And then he says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Which ones, Paul? Especially the gift of prophecy. That's interesting. There's lists and lists of different spiritual gifts, but Paul says to desire especially the gift of prophecy. Why does he single out a gift that no doubt is important? But when you think of all the other gifts, why would that one be singled out? Well, you'll have to tune in next time. That's right. I left you on a cliffhanger. Not that that was much of a cliffhanger, but anyway, come back again tomorrow. Remember, you can hear all these messages played on a loop 24/7 at the Wash and Word parking lot area, 107.1 FM. Join me Sunday nights at 6 p.m. for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road, Churchill. Finally, go to washandword.com if you have any questions. Have a blessed day.